the Public News Service Daily Newscast for November 16, 2022. I'm Mary Sherman. A majority of Connecticut voters have elected to allow early voting in the state. Though a similar ballot initiative failed in 2014, this time 60% of Connecticut voters approved the amendment. Edwin J. Vieira reports.
Though a similar ballot initiative failed in 2014, this time 60% of Connecticut voters approved the amendment. The goal of the amendment is to provide people with greater ability to vote. Prior to this, Connecticut was one of four states that didn't allow early voting. Helen Humphreys with the Connecticut Citizen Action Group notes the biggest drawback of single-day voting is lack of access. She thinks cities will see direct benefits to adding early voting.
I voted in Suffield and I voted in Bridgeport, and the experience was very different. In Suffield, you walk in and out. In Bridgeport, I waited in line for over an hour to vote. So I think especially for those in cities and high population areas, this is going to be a huge benefit because it'll give them the opportunity to vote when they can.
Passing with a modest majority, the new amendment already faces a legal challenge from a New Britain woman who claims it is unconstitutional. Humphreys disagrees after speaking with some legal experts in the state.
Yesterday was the first anniversary of the signing of the federal infrastructure law. Groups pushing for support for Wisconsin towns and cities say implementation is providing hope that overlooked areas will get the jolts they need. At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Verwink says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation-related, and Verwink says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like roads and bridge repairs.
Many of the municipalities have had projects delayed or had to shelve them due to lack of funding. Having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The number of veterans experiencing homelessness nationwide has decreased 11% since 2020, and a similar improvement has been observed in Nebraska. We get the story from Deborah Van Fleet.
The Department of Veterans Affairs says there's been a 55% decrease in the number of homeless veterans since 2010, and the VA is within reach of meeting its goal of rehousing 38,000 veterans this year. Carrie Miller-Lose with Nebraska Western Iowa VA Healthcare System says hundreds of millions of dollars of American Rescue Plan funds were directed to this need, which helped tremendously, including to prevent people from becoming homeless.
Perhaps they were behind in rent or behind on utilities, but we were also able to house veterans using that money for deposits, first month's rent, to help get veterans into their housing faster.
The VA works with homelessness coalitions and landlord engagement groups throughout the state. Miller-Lose says there are some great landlords, but the lack of affordable housing is still a significant problem.
This is PNS. Illinois lawmakers are hoping to adjust the state's problem-plagued recreational marijuana law designed to award dispensary licenses on a fair and equitable basis. Only three social equity marijuana dispensaries are expected to be open by 2023. Statistics show almost all the other 110 dispensaries operating in Illinois were opened by wealthy, mostly white entrepreneurs. The state has awarded 185 social equity licenses, but until recently a court injunction blocked them from opening. Mike Forcher, editor of the cannabis trade publication Grown In, says the program remains bogged down in red tape.
There were a number of loopholes that were put into the application process that allowed people that were clearly not social equity applicants to apply. And actually, a very large number of the winning applications went to those people.
As temperatures drop across the state of Utah and energy costs continue to rise, residents may be eligible for heat utility assistance to stay warm as winter fast approaches.
Jamie Castleton with Utah Community Action says HEAT provides water and energy assistance throughout the year to households considered to be low income and encourages Utahns who need help to apply.
People who are living with a documented disability, age 60 and over, and then young children under the age of 6 are our main three target populations. But anyone who is struggling with a financial situation, we can help.
While priority is given to the groups you just mentioned, Castleton says applicants with incomes below 150% of the federal poverty line are also eligible. The National Energy Assistance Directors Association predicts the average home heating cost is expected to increase by almost 18% this year, meaning the average family is likely to spend around $1,200 to heat their home. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Crews dump more than 20 million metric tons of salt on U.S. roads each winter to keep them free of ice and snow, and that has environmental groups pushing state-level solutions in Minnesota to limit chemicals from reaching waterways. Treating roadways in snowfall is done to keep motorists safe, but has also left 54 lakes and streams in the state impaired by high salt concentrations. That's according to Sue Nissen of the group Stop Oversalting, which has backed legislation to help applicators in the private sector learn how to use less.
Salty water is not good for health. Salt is something we want to use in limited amounts where we...
Minnesota has provided training for effective techniques since 2005. But under the proposed bill, certified smart salters would be protected from liability, preventing them from being sued for slip and fall accidents. It would apply to companies that clear snow for parking lots and other private property. It's unclear if the bill will be reconsidered next session. This story was produced with original reporting from Diana Kruseman for Grist as part of the Solutions Journalism Network. This is Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations and your favorite podcast platform. Find our A-Trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.